Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Studio G and the discussions for women in leadership. We continue our focus this week on how the styles and principles of an Omega leader can influence leadership. Here in the studio this week, we have Lori Beth Jones, speaker and author of 14 books and the book leading our discussion this evening, Jesus CEO. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you.
Glad to have you with us tonight. Representing the business pillar is Vicky Arteaga. Welcome, Vicky.
Hello.
And also representing the education pillar, Elisa Holston.
Good evening.
So, welcome everyone to the studio.
Thank
How are
you.
Things going?
Good.
Had any wowsy moments this week?
My life is a wowsy moment.
Wowsy moment.
We'll get to that later.
Yes, we will. So, you tune in to the discussion this week is how being an Omega leader uses the concept of wowsy. So, Lori Beth is going to lead us into some understanding about that tonight, and you will also get to hear some of our wowsy moments on this segment. But before we do, Vicky is going to define for us the definition of an Omega leader. Vicky.
Get your scorecards out. Let's see how she does.
Well, we've been talking about the alpha style is very authoritarian and pretty much is like my way or no way. The beta leadership is mostly looking for consensus and is trying to gain the group's support, more collaborative. And the Omega leadership style is a combination, and it's like transcends both and knows how to and when to use either one or the other and complement each other. So it's the style that Jesus used, and it's a style that it was very natural to him, and that's the style that we're trying to learn how to use it in different circumstances.
Exactly. That was great. Very well done. Well said. And so we're using the concepts and content from your book, Lori, Jesus CEO, Ancient Wisdom for Visionary Leadership, and it has been quite a journey these last few months of unpacking this content and really helping us to all figure out what is it like to be an Omega leader. So far, we're not quite sure that the yardstick we're standing against measures up to how you've written about it, but learning every week about what that looks like, and particularly for women in leadership, we're really focusing on concepts and constructs for women in particular, because it seems that, you know, something very close to my heart that I'll share in a little while really lends itself to beginning to think of ways to support girls, young adults, women that are moving into the marketplace, into different industries to lead, taking your content and really beginning to frame that out on what it would look like for us all to lead more like Christ. So with that said, welcome.
Well, we've been saying wowsy, but it really is an acronym that I created for with or without someone else, W-O-W-S-E. And in Jesus CEO, I talk about when I first started my company, I went to several banks for a loan, and they turned me down, and I would say, well, wowsy. You know, I'm just going to do it with or without someone else. And so it's kind of a mantra that got me through some initial, a lot of rejection from the banks. They did not think my tennis racket was collateral. And and it actually served me well because I had to learn quickly to generate cash flow. So sometimes the struggle creates, actually in wine and in the vineyard, the struggle in the soil is what creates the sweeter, the better grapes. So with or without someone else. And there was another one that I don't know where I came up with this one, but I remember I left my company to go with this gentleman that had promised me a very large contract. And so they had the party, and I said goodbye, and I went. He said, wait a week, and I went a week later, and he had been fired. And, of course, they didn't know me from Adam. And I remember going to the taco stand nearby, and I couldn't even swallow the taco because I had left my job expecting this large contract, and now I had nothing. And I remember thinking to myself, he didn't make me. He's not going to break me.
Mm. Wow,
so,
that's cool.
3 weeks ago, I didn't even know this guy.
Right.
So am I going to let him devastate me? I mean, God made me. There's, no one can break me.
Right.
So that was, it really carried me through some really tough times. And I think it's important for women in leadership to know that sometimes you're going to stand alone. And when we've been enculturated, and maybe even some would say genetically predisposed to look for consensus and look for the group, and we don't perhaps have the need to shine, or we don't seek status as much as perhaps men do in many ways. It's hard. It's tough to stand alone. And yet, it's the hallmark of leadership. And in Scripture, we see Deborah, who was looking around. She kept thinking, surely one of the tribes is going to stand up and say, you know, we need to go to battle here. And they wouldn't. So she went and led the charge to get the, you know, to gather the troops. And then you have Mary, who Jesus, you know, was conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit, and she really, you talk about a woman alone, this was worth stoning to death-wise and to break an engagement
sure.
with a man she clearly loved. So she had to stand alone. And then Jesus at the cross.
Mm.
Nobody wanted him to go. In fact, he didn't really even want to go, but he was so clear that he went to the cross with or without someone else. So when you're a leader, you're going to stand alone, and it's sometimes at a crossroads. And I think, Elisa, if you want to share with us, you said you're living it now.
Sure. I think, well, we were, you know, chatting about just the idea of wowsy, and, you know, it's for me, it's a little bit of, sometimes it challenges a little bit of cognitive dissonance, because my traditional leadership training says you lead others, you know, and so when you're alone, you're not leading, and that's just part of that traditional training in terms of leadership. And yet I find myself right now kind of in a crossroads in terms of where we are in our school implementing a whole lot of changes in it. And a staff that was solid in its commitment a year ago is now much less committed and compliant, but not committed. And so I find myself, I think, wowsy, I'm having to go with or without them with the faith and the hope that as I keep my eyes on the mission and the vision, I will bring them back to a place of reconciling what their understanding is of where we need to go with where how we're actually getting there. And so, but for this moment, there are many times that I do feel like I'm alone on that path. But I have to have the faith and the hope that as I persevere and work with them, and I will bring them along. But I have to continue moving forward. Otherwise, we will be stagnant and nothing will have been accomplished.
Wow, that's powerful.
What jumped out at me as you were talking about that is obviously knowing that you're a fire, that your element is fire in your personality. You know, Lori, is it easier to go with or without someone depending on your elemental makeup?
Oh, that's a very good point. Yes, fires, it's much easier for fires to go alone. And in fact, when we do that team exercise of the four elements and you have to pick your team, and the point of the exercise is for everyone to get one of each of the elements, it's not uncommon to see the fires standing alone. And in this one exercise, I said to the fires, I said, couldn't you get any earths or waters or winds to join you? And they just, there were two fires standing there.
And they said, why?
Exactly. They said, we are the team.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, how long can fires burn without
anybody to burn?
Right, that's right. They'll turn on each other quickly. But, so elementally, it's much easier, I would think, for either an earth or a fire to stand alone. The wind is going to go searching for someone to engage with, and the water is going to naturally. In fact, I was at the car wash the other day, and I was watching the drops on the windshield and how they, the patterns, and how they just seek another droplet of water. I mean, they just are constantly seeking to engage with another water. So, yes, it's much easier for fires to stand alone.
Right. So if you're in a particular vocation or career path or, you know, the job that you're doing and you are a wind or a water, it could become more challenging to you to take that stand on your own or if you're in a pastoral situation and you don't have the board behind you, or you know it's time to step out and
mm-hmm.
you know, add a second service, or you know, build on to the nursery because there seem to be babies everywhere but nobody's
mm-hmm.
taking action. And so that's very interesting
mm-hmm.
of how we build consensus or vision in a direction that we want to go.
Yeah. Well, in thinking about a water, you can think about, with Christ, we're never really alone.
Right.
And so when we're clear about what we're being called to do, and when we do that, then what, Christ becomes our bonding agent. So then we're not alone. I can do all things through
mm.
Christ who
right,
strengthens
right.
me. So if you're a water, you think about Christ as a big drop of water, and then you bond to that, and then you're not alone, and you've
hmm.
really got the vastness of the universe there with you.
We were talking a little bit about that before the show also, is that I think that ultimately, you know, we were talking about reconciling the idea of Wowsie as a leader is one who leads other people toward a mission, towards a goal, towards a change. And so when you have the Wowsie with or without someone else, you know, and kind of reconciling that, and as we were discussing now, we kind of, the eureka or the aha for me was, that I think there are seasons or maybe moments when a leader does stand alone, but
mm-hmm.
ultimately that mark as a leader is they're following in the end or after the fact. So there may be like I'm in a season where I'm alone,
mm-hmm.
but the mark of my leadership will be where will we have moved as a team, as a group, as a staff through that
mm-hmm.
process to change at the end of the path,
right?
At the end of the road. And looking at, you gave the example of Jesus. Obviously, Jesus was alone on the cross. So there was a time where he went to that cross alone, as you stated, not because he wanted to, but because he needed to.
Right.
He knew it was his mission. However, today he's not alone. You know, he's marked by his followers.
Right.
And his legacy is marked by his followers. Or you mentioned Nelson Mandela, that he may have begun elements of his journey alone, but he went from prisoner to president.
Right.
He did not end his leadership journey alone. So I think it's a cyclical and it's a seasonal issue. There are seasons and cycles in which a leader is going to stand alone and take a risk and step out.
Right.
Let's think about it from this angle. You know, this book, Jesus CEO, is over a million copies sold and read by all kinds of folks that, you know, may not be of a faith tradition. But looking at Jesus as that kind of role model for with or without someone else, it's very interesting to me. You know, what I just heard you say was that, you know, Christ is like a bonding agent that we adhere ourselves to, that it's kind of like super glue,
mm-hmm.
you know? That stuff's pretty strong. So what if, you know, what if someone's listening to this show that doesn't have that bonding agent? You know, what's the stick-to-itness that keeps them, you know, when they're out there in a situation where, you know, where Christ may not be their choice of faith, you know, what's that? Are they alone? Are they not alone? Or
well, I was just reading a thing that I think it was Carl Jung had, and it's in Latin, and I can't describe what it said, but he had it over his studio, and basically it said, bidden or unbidden, God is present.
Hmm.
Bidden or unbidden, God is present. So God is always there, whether people have the faith tradition or not. So if you believe something is true, then you bond to that truth, and then you will feel less alone.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes, and going a little bit back to what Elisa's point was, you know, usually I was thinking that you can use Wowsie to build trust, and it could be in different directions. You build your own trust.
Trust in yourself.
Trust in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But also you can build trust in a group after you decide, okay, I'm going to stick to it because I think it's the right thing to do, and I'm going to go do it by myself. People, they're watching. They're watching you. They're observing the results on your path. And I think it's empowering in a sense, walking with that security is empowering, and they see how you're resourceful and how you start going against the flow or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but you're moving forward, and it's contagious at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I was thinking of, for example, Mother Teresa, how somebody like her, born in a country with no resources, a lot of need, and getting into the Catholic faith that has a lot of hierarchy and, you know, it's a structure that has been for forever, almost.
Mm-hmm. A long time. 2,000 years.
How come somebody like her stood alone? And I think she did with or without someone else,
right.
like picking people one at a time
mm.
in the streets and, you know. So as the world observed what she was doing, then they tried to help her.
Right.
But I think it's a very powerful concept of just building trust in you and also build trust in others for a group.
That's beautifully said. Mm-hmm. Shelley, did you want to share your wowsy moment?
Sure. Well, I think for me, one of those times, with or without someone else, is one of the things that I often reflect on is when I first started in my marriage, moving in a direction to become co-pastors with my husband and getting Bible training and attending seminary and at that time had not moved into becoming ordained yet, but that was in the cards. And then, you know, life happens, and pretty soon I found myself alone without someone else and, you know, working my way through a divorce situation and coming out on the other side of that wondering, would I continue down the path of ministry based on not just being a woman in ministry, but now being a divorced woman in ministry, and where would God use that, and how would God use that, and it almost seemed like an oxymoron at the time. But, you know, I think one of the, you know, incredible times, so that bonding agent that you were talking about, Lori Beth, there just a little bit ago, I think it does stick out for reasons that were not always clear.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some kind of road sign that lets us know as we continue to march that the door will be open and we will find that place that God has called us to ultimately. And so, you know, I think that's one of those times for me
mm-hmm.
that I determined, well, you know what? I've had this desire since I was 5 years old. I think I need to keep moving forward. And God certainly has has guided my path and guided my life and has let me serve in and out of the church over the last couple of decades, and I'm very grateful for that.
You're reaching thousands of people, Shelley, through your work, even tonight, the show,
mm-hmm.
which I was thinking, this was a wowsy thing.
That's
we
true.
Decided we wanted to do it.
With or without
without any listeners.
So we hope you're out there.
Yeah, well, now we're up to, 2,400
listeners. Yeah, a lot of people are,
and it's,
are encouraged by your content.
Oh, thank you.
As you were speaking, Shelley, you know, I was struck by the fact that, you know, you mentioned earlier with asked Lori about different elements and its implications for wowsy and how it's easier for some elements perhaps to step out and do things on their own, perhaps even to a point of going too far down the path alone, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also thinking about just as a woman and then adding, you know, being a divorced woman, you're really kind of out in a vulnerable position, sometimes in the perception of society, as to stepping out on one's own. And I started thinking about just the difference of a woman versus a man as a wowsy leader
mm.
and the different ways that society might perceive a woman wowsy
sure.
and a male wowsy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, where the male might be heralded as the maverick
Right.
Where the woman might be regarded as the lunatic,
mm-hmm.
or, you know,
lonely, or
yeah,
something's
exactly.
missing, or
mm-hmm. yeah,
yeah.
Good perception.
Well, I just had a sweet moment happen to me recently where I was engaged with a group of people, and it got very heated on some theological matters, and I love them dearly, and I said, I just felt it rising within me, and I said, if you choose to go down that path, I cannot walk with you.
Right.
And it was a pivotal moment for us because we've known each other about 3 years, and they got very quiet, and they said, no, no, you know, we're much closer than you think. But I was not going to compromise on this issue. And so it was a little bit of a rough, you know, a rough discussion. And that night I was in my hotel room and thinking about it and wondering if I didn't feel guilty. I just knew that, I mean, you feel that bonding.
Mm-hmm.
This is where, who I am, and this is where I'm going to be. And the next morning, I ordered room service, and the server came in, and he left his little note on the tray. And I was looking at it, and it said, your stay at the Hilton has been provided with you, especially in mind. Your server today, and he had written his name in, and it was Jesus. And and of course, it was Jesus who had served me, but it was right there, and I just thought, Jesus brought in my tray of food. He knows my room number. He was there, and it was just a really sweet moment, and I actually took it to the group, and I said, see who served me this morning? Now are you willing to listen?
Watch out.
Yeah. And then we did agree that, you know, Jesus prayed that we would be one, and it's the easiest thing in the world to pick a fight or to find things that divide us, and the larger question is, can you find the things that unite us? You know, anybody can pick a fight. Just go to any bar. Talk about their nose or their mother, and you've got yourself a brawl. And particularly in Christianity, it's not much difference. But Jesus, from a position of meta-thinking, is more concerned about what do you have in common? Where can we be one? Because ultimately we are. So, yeah, Jesus is a server.
The server. I was also thinking as you're sharing your story that part of that, the concept of Wellesley leader is directly related to, you know, as you speak about that the mega leader is courageous. And what you did and all of the stories that are shared, I think, Wellesley moments are acts of courage where you, as you shared at the beginning also, when all of a sudden you realized that, you know, you had taken a risk, you'd stepped out to start your business, you didn't quite have that security net that you thought you had. But something prompted you. You knew that you couldn't stay where you were, that you had to move on, or you wouldn't be who you were. You wouldn't be living out your path. You wouldn't be living out your mission. And I just think that's so directly to the Wellesley is that, you know, me, you know, I look at my own self. I could work really hard at addressing the felt needs of my team and be engendering consensus, but it would be a false consensus because I would not be being true to my mission. So then what am I doing there? What's the point?
Right.
Either I'm moving in the right direction or I'm not. Either I'm true to my mission or I'm not.
Right.
Right. And I see that too. You know, I see with or without someone else being related directly to mission. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Totally see that. Do you?
Oh, yes. Yes. And I use the story in the seminars, and I've used it from the speaker stand about the signers of the Declaration of Independence who signed their name so boldly so that the king could read it. It was really their own death warrant. And then, you know, that was a glorious moment and everybody was excited and afraid. And then the war hit and it was messy and bloody and they had to sell their farms to buy bullets. And one man was found dead in a ditch, homeless, no name. And they took him, somebody took him to the morgue and finally, they identified him, and he had been one of the signers of the Declaration who had given his life, his honor, and his sacred fortune to buy munitions for the army. And so he died broke and alone in a ditch. Did he live his mission?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And he may be alone in that. He may have been alone in that moment of that ditch, but he was not his mission was not in vain. His acts were not in vain.
Yes.
His steps were not in vain.
Right.
Yeah. And even if he noticed or not, like, for example, how many people he might not notice, and the time that he passed, he might have thought, oh, I wonder if this was worth it or not. We don't know. Only
right.
He knows. But I'm sure that, you know, those of us who believe in eternity with
mm-hmm.
God, that's when he is now, probably with God saying, see, that was worth it.
Right. Right. I saw a T-shirt today that I loved, and it said, we live in the land of the free because of the brave.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's so true. And I often think about the young king who was afraid to go into battle, and a prophet said, Lord, peel back the heavens so he can see the army that is behind him.
Hmm.
And he just looked, and there was a host of angels. And it's really a thin veil that we are
mm-hmm.
being heralded. Every child that is born has an angel with it, and every soul that passes has a host of angels waiting to greet it, and we just can't see that. And so when we're in those moments when we feel most alone is that precious time when Christ can come in with little cat's feet. I love Anne Lamott, the author, and she talks about Jesus, and she was so resistant to Jesus, and he was like a cat in the corner,
yeah.
and finally, she said with the curse, okay, you can come in,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he came in and has never left her. She's had an amazing ministry.
We just have a couple of minutes, Lori Beth, and, you know, one of the things that that I hear a little bit about this Wellesley, and maybe you can just close with a few thoughts around it, but it's when, you know, when you feel rejected, or maybe you've been kicked down for the last time, or, you know, you just lost your job, or you can't make the mortgage, and, you know, the kids need all kinds of things, and
mm-hmm.
the health insurance is running out. You know, it's almost that real for everybody right now. And then I look at this place of rejection, like I feel rejected, and I've got to stand up with or without. You know, can you kind of close our time this evening talking a little bit about that?
Well, the notion of being rejected, one of the things that has served me so well, and I try to remember it, is that there's only one person I have to please, and that's God. That's all. Me plus God equals a majority. And so when other people are rejecting me, am I honoring God? Am I being one with my maker? That's all that matters. And so it really takes a lot of pressure off. You don't have to try to please everybody. You just have to please God. And that's fairly simple to find out how to do. And then your other point about Rise, in my new book, Jesus Career Counselor, which I'm doing the copy edits right now, Rise is actually a feminine word form in Hebrew.
Wow.
She shall rise. Mm. We rise in Christ. The whole notion of Christianity, knock down 7 times, stand up 8.
Mm.
And people go to boxing matches to see somebody not get knocked down, but to see them rise. And it's in our human nature to do that. It is in every seed to rise. Every tree that's cut down, there will be something within that stump that still wants to grow. Something in it still whispers, rise. And with or without someone else, you have the God of all creation within you, and you are within him. So I would encourage each of you to rise into the glory of all that you are and all that you can be. And I'll just close quickly with the story of my little filly, little Pistol. She was 3 days old, and I was watching her out my picture window, and her little red mane, the sun was hitting it, and I could see her seashell-shaped nostrils flaring, and she was sleeping. It was the most beautiful scene, and then all of a sudden, she, just like a puppet strings, lifted her up, and she stood on point on all fours, leaped into the air, and started bucking and whinnying and kicking to the left and to the right, running full speed around the pasture, glorying in what it was to be a horse. And she had never experienced that before because I had been with her those whole 3 days. So I tell people that she was born on the first day, but on the third day she arose into all the glory of what she could be as a horse. Well, with or without someone else, your God loves you. God love you. Good night. Bye-bye.